So as we close out 2019, you know, I'd like to see us put apathy behind us and light a fire, the fire of God in our hearts again. Now, like I mentioned, I don't want this message to put us down, but to challenge us each to a deeper commitment to God. The passage I want to look at today is found in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 to verse 14. Hebrews 5, verse 11 to 14. It says, concerning him, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he's an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you today for the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. We thank you that we're not alone down here. At any time, anywhere we are, we can cry out to you. Holy Spirit, we pray that you just rise up right now inside of each and every one of us. We believe that you are the teacher, the revealer, the one who brings us to the place that we need to be. Lord, I bind up the devil from any distraction, any chaotic thing that tries to hinder the flow of your Spirit. I thank you, Lord, we have laser focus today in what it is you want to speak to each of us personally. I yield to the gift inside of me. I use it for your glory. And I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I just want to mention for about, 25 cents, maybe 50 cents, you can make a great investment in your life. I think you can buy you can call it your spiritual spiral notebook. You know, for 25 cents, you can buy a notebook. For another quarter, you can get an ink pen. Now, I know I'm not trying to be too humble here, but I know I'm not the best preacher on the planet. Right? I'd have been on TV by now. You know what I'm saying? But I do believe this. I'm not alone in this endeavor. I believe the Holy Spirit is in me, and what we have in commonality is the fact that God will speak things through me, but He'll also, the Holy Spirit will divert it to you so that you have something that you can grab a hold of yourself. Now, maybe you can type it on your phone fast enough. I can't. I have to speak into my phone when I text, so that would be very annoying to the people around you, so please don't do that. But, you know, here's how it works. You know, and this is this free side bit information. You know, God is probably going to speak to you once or twice in the service, maybe. And He's going to give you something. Now, what you do is you write that down because, like I've always said, the shortest pencil is better than the longest memory, right? So then you write those things down, and then later today or later on the week, you just kind of explore those thoughts because those are God's thoughts speaking to you. Not to anybody else, maybe, but to you. And then you kind of think about those things and what God wants to do in your life. And then you're going to grow and you're going to be ahead of everybody else. But see, what happens sometimes is we listen to it, and then we think we're going to remember it. And I'm getting older now, and I know I write more stuff down than I used to. But then I'll tell you what, God has spoken to me some very profound things. And then about 10 minutes later, if I haven't written them down, I really have to work at figuring those out again. So I want you this year as we start it, that's one little trick or little tip. Also, I encourage you to read through the Bible in a year. Challenge yourself. There's Bible reading plans on YouVersion. Also, I have some things printed out that's in the office over there where it's a daily reading plan for in 15 minutes a day. You can read through the Bible in a year. Then you can go to work and tell everybody, yep, I read the Bible, you know. And they'll you know, maybe you have a larger voice then. A lot of people have never read the whole Bible. And I think as a Christian, I think it's a very important thing. So just think about those things. If you have any questions, see me because you still got a couple days to decide on the Bible reading plan. Like I said, there's some online that have some devotionals. But I encourage you to do it. I've done it every year since 1985. Every year I've read through the Bible. And it's helped me a lot in my walk. So anyway, that's a little infomercial. So first point I want to look at today as we get into our message is talking about spiritual immaturity. Now, the author of Hebrews, nobody knows who they are. I mean, basically the Holy Spirit was speaking through the author and through his hands as he's writing. Some believe it was Apostle Paul, some don't. Doesn't really matter because we believe that God was in it. But what the author was talking about here in verse 11, it's a chastisement. Because he wanted to go deeper with them about the areas of who Melchizedek was, and he couldn't. He couldn't do it, because we're going to find out why. Now, later on in the chapter, he went into it, must have maybe brought him back around. And see, the problem was the info wasn't so deep, but the problem was they were so shallow. And we can all get shallow, can't we? I mean, we're all honest here. We're all believers. We love each other hypothetically, right? You know, I'm willing to admit it. I can get shallow sometimes. I don't maybe do the things that I'm supposed to do to keep my walk with God where I want it to be. So I need to recalibrate and, you know, refire up. See, our main problem is that the Bible isn't that it's so deep, but that we're too shallow in our walk with the Lord because we're afraid to maybe go too deep with Him. Maybe we think it takes a little effort. Maybe we think that God's going to keep us from doing some things that we want to do. I found out that the closer I got to God, the less I want to do things I thought used to be were important. And I've been able to let those things go. See, the problem was they were not interested in the Word of God anymore as they used to be. What this passage here is talking about is dull of hearing. Now, as I get older, it frustrates me. I don't hear as good as I used to. Too much loud music, too much loud construction noise. So I'm always having to say, huh? You know, I know it's irritating for people. You know, but if in case you want to know, this ear, my left ear, that's my good ear. So if you really want to make sure I hear it, get on my left side. You know, and I can have a better chance of understanding what you're saying. Half the things the kids say in the youth group or on the church van, I have no clue what they're saying. I just, yeah. Oh, that's possible. Yeah, that could be. You know, I don't know what I'm agreeing to, but I, you know, just one of those deals. I don't really want to get hearing aids. I'm just believing my ears are going to be opened again. Amen. But anyway, so they were too shallow and they weren't interested. So the word dull of hearing, what that means is lacking interest or excitement, slothful or sluggish. Now, have you ever lacked interest when it comes to the things of God? Oh, I got to read the Bible. Oh, I have to do this or I have to do that. Oh, you want to pray? Oh, I don't know about that. Go to church during the week? You know, all these things. You know, I remember, you know, when I first got saved, I was so on fire, they had to beat me away with a stick. They said, get out of here. Go home. We don't want you around here no more. You know, but I just was so hungry. I devoured every piece of paper I could find about God because I just wanted Him. I wanted Him more and more in my life. And so, what happens is that these people became what we call spiritually deaf. That means they were no longer interested in hearing. And the reason why I'm sharing this passage, because I do know this happens from time to time. You know, there's people that's attended this church in the past and maybe they're not here anymore. But you know, what happened is they started off on fire, but then along the way, they just kind of lost their way. They just became disinterested in the things of God. They didn't really want to know any more about God. They thought they knew enough just to get by. And so they went off doing on their own thing, and before long, the enemy crept up on them and pulled them away. Now, what I found is that we become dull of hearing, we usually become dull in doing. We pull back. We don't want to be involved in the things that God wants us involved with. You know, just like Randy mentioned, just ringing the bell, how that made him feel so blessed. I mean, I'll tell you what, if you're not feeling blessed, go out there and bless somebody. Be a blessing to somebody. That's when I don't know how it works, but it just kind of gets things going in us. And it makes us feel like we're more appreciated and the fact that we're more loving towards others. Now, they didn't start out that way. They started out on fire, just like most of us. But what happened is they became that way, the Bible says. They became that way, so they allowed themselves to lull into that place where they became slothful. And I just want to throw this out. The Lord just dropped it in my heart. Watch out who you hang with. Don't let people drag you away from God's Word. God has a word for you today. He wants to speak into your life. But don't hang around people that try to pull you back from that. Because it's not going to be good for you spiritually. And what they're trying to do is make you as unspiritual as they are. So they feel better about themselves. And that's how it works. Now, these people hadn't totally turned their heart on God or turned their back on God. They turned their heart away yet. But, you know, God just wasn't important anymore. And it's important that we keep them that way. You know, I found out in my life, it's a bummer when we start out all right, but we end up all wrong. And that can happen. You know, it's hard to grab a hold of God when we have both hands on the world. And see, that's what leads us down. It takes us down that gravity force that keeps us away from being able to rise up in the things of God. But see, God wants us to go deeper. Now, this may freak some people out, but this scripture actually says that, it says in verse 12, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers." You ought to be teachers. See, God wants us all to grow up so that we can help those along on their journey who are not as far along as we are. Whether it means teaching a Sunday school class or adult class or just helping somebody along their spiritual journey in life. At work, you meet a lot of people that probably have some spiritual questions. You have to have the answer. You have to have the information, you know, inside of you. And when you do, then you can share it. You know, we all have some superficial relationships. We just need to make sure that God's not one of them. You know, we just need to get deeper into God. Well, that was kind of that point. Now we're going to look at the next point, which is talking about spiritual progress. How do we have spiritual progress in our life? How do we grow? I'll tell you what, I'm so blessed as a pastor when I watch people grow in the Lord. I mean, they start out where they can hardly make it through the door. Have you ever been that person? I was that person. I barely could make it through the door out there in Denver. I mean, at that church I went to, I was so scared. I just didn't want to say nothing. I was afraid I'd either say or do something stupid, you know. I just didn't think I had anything to offer. But then as I paid attention and started to grow, and then, you know, I was acknowledged or for being growing, and, you know, then the church plugged me into different ministries. But see, to do that spiritual progress, we need two things. We need both milk and meat. That's what we need, is milk and meat. Now, this passage here is talking about, not, you know, just sticking with milk, how troubled it is. But 1 Peter 2:2, it says, "Crave spiritual milk so that it can grow in respect to salvation." So we never outgrow milk. You know, I like milk. I drink it every now and then. You know, so always drink some milk, but that can't be our main diet. Even if you add a cookie to it. You know what I mean? You just can't add a cookie to your milk and think you're going to get by spiritually. You got to have some meat in your life. You got to go deeper. And there's a reason for that. You see, when I was a little boy, I lived on a farm and we had cattle. And every now and then, you know, one of the moms, for whatever reason, would not accept the baby. The baby was rejected. So we calved in February, so it's pretty bad weather then. So we'd have to bring this calf who was probably laying down in the snow or mud and had to either pack it and put it on the tractor or something, or get it in the truck and haul it home. Well, we tried to warm it up, you know, so it could get up, because to suck or nurse, however you want to say it. And you would give it that bottle of milk. And when they were really little, you know, you could handle feeding them. Now, a little baby calf, every now and then, I don't know if it's true or not, but they'll give their mom a big headbutt in her bag, you know, so more milk will let down. So it's just in them. Well, then you're trying to bottle feed this calf, and they're just, as they get bigger, they're just ramming you. They want more milk. They want more food. Because that milk doesn't fill their belly. You have to give them a supplement. You have to give them oats and a little bit of corn, maybe some hay. And then that little baby, you still give them milk because they still want it until they get up to a certain age. I mean, them calves, you know, some calves we had, they were about as tall as their mom and they still wanted to nurse. You know, they just wanted that milk. But they also had to go eat grass because that milk couldn't fill their belly. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of Christians here today in the world that they're just wanting milk. They don't want to go on to the word of righteousness, what this is talking about. Because God challenges us to get into the word of God. We grow in our salvation with the milk. But if we want to walk in the word of righteousness, finding out who we are in Christ and what we have and what God's called us to do, we're going to have to get some solid food. We're going to have to get more. Because you can't grow as a Christian drinking only milk. See, the Bible says that the milk-onlys means that they were not accustomed to the word of righteousness. That word accustomed means often used or practiced. See, Christianity is about being a doer of the Word of God. It's about getting out and starting to explore and, just trying to follow God to the best of your ability. You're going to miss it. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to misunderstand some things. But the best thing to do is just keep heading towards God. Keep heading towards God. Don't turn back. Don't compare yourself to others. Keep moving on. And God's going to lead you to a good place. What I found is it's sad that many Christians are lactose intolerant vegans. Lactose intolerant vegans. They don't like no milk and they don't like no meat. And then they wonder, God, you're not real. You're not in my life. Well, duh. You got to put something in to get something out. That's how life works. You can't, if you want to grow a garden, you got to put some seed in the ground before you get a harvest. Same with that in your life spiritually. Now, what we need to understand is the idea of a balanced diet and that's how important that is. We need meat and vegetables. Some people just eat meat. They don't want no vegetables. I like vegetables myself. But what happens is, as a Christian, we can make the mistake and we just kind of read our favorite scriptures, our go-tos. Hope you all got some go-tos. I got a few go-tos that I like to go to, And we end up just going to them, but they don't really give us everything that we need. And see, my role as a pastor is the fact that, I need to try to give you some balanced information in life. So that means I'll be honest with you, I have to preach on some stuff that I don't really want to preach on because it's not as fun for me. But see, it's not about me, is it? It's not about me. It's not about me preaching on stuff that I think that makes me feel oh so good or whatever the case may be. But I know that it's my role that I have to try to preach a balanced diet to bring it into your life so that you can really grow in the way that God wants you to do. See, your natural body needs balanced nutrients. If you don't get that, your body doesn't grow right. And your spirit and your soul needs balance also. Need to have those things. And I found out that people that only study on one subject, that's their key subject, they run the risk of really getting out of balance because they cannot rightly divide the word of truth. And I'll be honest, there's some people that only look at certain subjects in a certain light and they interpret every scripture around that thought and they misapply what the Bible says. And they're out there saying they're preaching truth, but they're not. You got to let scripture interpret scripture to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. Ones that I've ran into over the years of being a Christian, I hope you're, not this, but the conspiracy theorists, them guys? They're just, everything's, the government's bad, and I'm not saying the government ain't bad, I'm not going to go there. There is some problems in the government. But, the conspiracy theorists, that there's always something behind something, and always something's going on, pulling these strings and doing these things, so their whole life, and we used to have somebody in the church like that a long time ago in the old building, and everything was a conspiracy, and it wasn't long. They just weren't growing. Also, there's like prosperity preachers. They just preach about money all the time. How God's going to bless you. Usually their goal is to bless them. You know what I'm saying? That's just how it usually works. I'm not saying, when you give, God is going to bless you. But I mean, your whole ministry can't just be about money. That's wrong. It's not balanced for the people. I'll tell you, when I first, graduated Bible school, my wife and I, we got married after Bible school, yeah. Boy, it's all blurry right now. It's just going. But anyway, I remember we lived it over on Bannock Street. I still remember that little townhouse we was in. Anyway, I remember I got off on an eschatology kick, which is a big word for end time prophecy. So for several months, all I studied was eschatology. I just wanted to know more about the end times. And I'll be honest, there's people that study it for 20 years and they still don't understand it. You know what I'm saying? But what happened to me is that I ended up getting drier than cracker juice. And that's pretty dry because I wasn't getting a balanced diet. And the Lord let me keep going until finally it dawned on me, man, I'm just not right. Something's missing. I needed some broccoli. I love broccoli. But I needed some vegetables in my life. You know, it's all cool. You know, there's some people like go out, you know, the book of Revelation says this and da-da-da-da-da, and they feel so spiritual because they think they can understand the end times. That makes them a better Christian. Most of them don't know squat, I'll be honest. I've studied a lot of different ways. But when what the Lord revealed to me, and it's been the greatest lesson, one of them that I've ever learned, is that you need balance in your life. And how that balance comes in, and how it's going to keep all your tires on the road at the same time. And it's very necessary. Now, last point I want to look at today is how we train our senses. And this is a key to how we can get this done today. You know, we need, what it says here is, in my how I look at it, is that we need continual application of the Word of Truth. And this is what separates the baby Christians from the big Christians, is that the baby Christians, give me milk, give me milk, give me milk, give me milk, give me milk. But the Christians that want to grow, they get meat, and then they start to grow, and they learn they have to apply the Word of God. We need to apply it to our life. That means we take God's Word and the passages, and we say, God, what are you telling me to do in this passage? How do I change my life in this passage? And as we do that, then we start to get there. So it's a daily word, not just on Sunday. Now, many of you probably have the benefit, we don't really do this anymore, boo-hoo for me, but how many like going to Sunday dinners at grandma's? Or have ever got a chance to do that? I'll tell you what, that is some awesome stuff. Either roast beef, fried chicken, mashed potatoes, you know, a little bit of corn or gravy, and all these different things, and you go in there and, you know, you just eat and you eat and you're foundered, you're just so full. Oh, grandma cooks so good. Well, then you go home the rest of the week and all you eat is ramen noodles because you can't cook. So you live basically for that one day. And see, that's what happens sometimes to Christians who only apply the Word of God on Sundays and not the rest of the week. You know, you can't live on ramen as a spiritual thing for your walk with God. You know, we need to continually be putting that Word of God in. And, you know, anybody can study the Bible, and that's what we need to do, is continually study it. So as we do that, we start to train our senses. And why do we need to do that? The Bible says there that discern good and evil. Now you'd think, well, I can tell good and evil. No, not all the time. Good and evil, you know, can kind of be tricky sometimes. You know, the Bible says here that we need some discernment, okay? Now, I'm going to give you an example of something that may sound good, but yet it's really evil. That's the word flattery. Have you ever had somebody flatter you? I think we all have. See, flattery sounds good to you because it makes you feel good about yourself. So you may think they like you, but really what they're doing is they like you because there's something they want from you. Now that's evil. You know, I remember one time we just got married and, you know, my wife had come home and somebody was trying to flatter her. It was another person in Bible school. I don't know if you remember who it was. But anyway, no names. I don't do names, you know. But anyway, they came home and they said, she was saying what she said to her and all this stuff. And it was really nice. And my wife's a great person. But I just felt in my spirit, she's trying to flatter you. She wants something. And it was true. We found that out. See, it sounded good, but it was really evil. But see, if we train ourselves in the word of righteousness, it's important. See, what happens is the problem is that there are things in the world that get so chaotic, it's so hard to hear. I remember reading a story one time that there was an ad put out in the paper that they needed somebody to be hired to do Morse code, you know, the SOS or whatever that stuff is. So this guy walked in the room because he wanted to apply for the job, and there's about 10 or 15 other people in there already. And he goes, oh, bummer. You know, how many knows that if you go to interview for a job and there's 15 other people, it kind of diminishes your chances, doesn't it? Well, they're all sitting there and everybody's all talking, just kind of carrying on, got kind of noisy. All of a sudden, that guy jumped up off his chair, ran into the office, and got the job. And everybody was like, hey, that's not fair. We're here ahead of him. Why did he get the job and I didn't? Well, the boss over the PA system, the intercom system, was tapping in Morse code real low, that whoever gets in here first gets the job. And he figured the one who had the ability to hear over all that chaos was the kind of employee that he wanted. And see, we need to learn that in the things of God. Everybody here faces chaos. Some of you kids are in school and it's very difficult because there's so many things they're throwing at you, and there's all the peer pressure and there's all this chaos going around you. So it's hard for you to hear from God, especially if you're not paying attention. Amen? Amen. Oh my, right? Amen or oh my. So, you know, all those things are going on. You know, I remember, I'm not much of a shopper, but you remember Kmart? You know, they had the blue light special. Did you ever do that? We never really shopped there that much. But, you know, what would happen there is the fact that, you know, you'd be in their shop and all of a sudden you'd hear this thing. Attention, Kmart shoppers. Ding! A lot of them women's ears would just perk right up. You know, that means there's going to be a blessing coming their way or a discount. All right? So that means that whenever that happened, they turned a blue light on at this thing they were trying to sell at a lower price, and it would be on sale for an hour. I don't know how long it was. I mean, but anyway, if you weren't listening, you didn't get the discount. You know what I'm saying? You could have been in that store, but you didn't get the discount. But I'll be honest, I don't want the discount with God. I want the blessing from God. Amen? I want to be listening to God. And I'll tell you what, God is speaking to his people today. God is looking for people that's going to come out of the crowd and to be able to hear what he's trying to say. It may be Morse code, maybe some other kind of code, whatever it is. But God wants to speak to you because external distractions and internal distractions happen to us all. Now, we can't always control what's going on around us, but we can control what's going on inside of us. And the importance for it is to learn how to walk in the peace of God and what God has for us in our life. See, when we don't feel, you know, about growth, I mean, some people struggle with this. You know, the idea, you know, spiritual perception leads to spiritual progression. We all should be growing. You know, it's limbs upward and roots downward. See, that's how it works. Now, we may not feel like we're growing all the time. You may feel you've hit a flat spot. And if you're still doing the things you're supposed to do, what I found out, it may not be that your limbs are growing out. It may not be that you feel more spiritual. But what's happened is you're rooting down right now. Your roots are going down. And they're going down, down, down. And as they go down, that means you're ready to go up, up, up. You know what I mean? A tall tree won't stand unless it has a good root system. And see, then, so just don't be discouraged. And don't be disappointed if things aren't going as fast as you want. But just hang in there because we know that God loves you. Now I want to give you four spiritual keys for training your senses. Because a lot of people live by their senses. You know, how do you feel? Well, I don't feel good. Well, are you tired? I'm not tired, you know. So we base all our decisions on how we feel. And that's how we're going to live our life. But I'll tell you what, if I lived by my senses, I probably wouldn't have been married still. My wife's shaking her head for those of you listening by audio. Because there's some times you just don't feel like hanging in there. But the Word says something else. Amen? The Word says something else. Like I've always said, whenever I felt things were going wrong in our marriage, I'd just pull out that scripture, he who finds a wife finds a good thing, amen? And I'd read that over and over, and I started believing it, and then we started to get better, amen? And that's what we need to do. But here's four points what we can do to help train our senses. Number one, define. You know, you need to get a plan on how you're going to grow spiritually. Your study time, prayer, fellowship, etc. You know, there's more than just reading the Bible. Oh, you said that out loud. Yeah, there is more to it. You know, I love reading the Bible through the year, but yet I still go back at other things, and then I'll have study time. Meaning I'll pick a passage, and I'll kind of break that down. I'll think about it. How does that apply to me? Not how does that apply to my wife or somebody else in the church, but how does it apply to me? Because, you know, I need to grow too. So you need to define how you're going to grow spiritually. You know, study time, prayer, fellowship. Okay. Next, you need desire. These are four D's. Second is desire. You know, find what stirs you up. I'll be honest, you know, sometimes you just go along and just kind of float along, but sometimes you just got to do something to break out of it. Maybe, you know, you need to be a cheerleader. Maybe you need to talk yourself up, you know, speak to yourself. You know, praise God, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to preach the gospel. I may not feel like it, but see, I cheer myself up. Maybe I need to play worship music. I'm a Jesus culture freak. I mean, I love Jesus culture music. I mean, to me, they do it for me. You know, all the others are great, but that one, when I get into Jesus culture, that just brings me to the place I need to be. You know, maybe I need to talk to somebody and let them speak into my life. But whatever you need to do, and also what I've done is, God, I prayed, God, give me the desire. I don't desire to do that, God, but you can give me the desire, and lo and behold, He does. Next, dedication. That means voluntary commitment. You have to want it. You know, you just have to want it. Wake up in the day and say, you know, God, I want this. This is my goal for 2020. I want to have 2020 vision. I want to be where you want me to be. I want to learn the things that you want me to do. I want to get there. And lastly, discipline. That means controlled behavior or self-control. That means you can't just do everything you want all the time. You got to stay with the plan. Stick with that plan. Walk it out. And start to see. You know, I believe that if most people would give me 3 months of their life, and that sounds like a lot, but not full time. But in 3 months, if you would let me disciple you, I believe that you would be a successful Christian. I have confidence in God. It's not me. I just know some of the things to say. God would make you a successful Christian. I guarantee that. But not everybody takes me up on that challenge. So I just want to throw that out today. If you'd like to be somewhere else where you than you are now. Now, in closing, this is the favorite time of year. I like it because we can forget about past failures and grab a hold of new beginnings. So maybe as I was preaching here today, you was thinking about some stuff. Oh yeah, you know, I'm not there. I've done this, and you know, this ain't where I need to be. You know, don't let the devil beat you up with over that stuff. Just say, I don't want that no more. I want the blood of Jesus to cleanse me, and He'll give you a fresh start. You know, as I mentioned, you know, this passage talks about being a teacher. I want you to set a goal for 2020 to not be dull of hearing or dull in doing, but to reach out and have a desire to help someone else along in their journey. Because I guarantee you, as you do that, you know, God's going to take you to a great place in Him. Let's pray.